It is the inner cry that can and will solve all our problems. Like a runner has to run the fastest. If he wants to run the fastest, then he will not wear winter boots or heavy coat. No, he will not do that. So here also, if one is a sincere seeker, he will not be loaded with thoughts and ideas, worries, anxieties. I ask my students, my disciples, to assimilate the peace, light and bliss they get during their meditation. Unless and until it has been assimilated, there is no guarantee that it will come back again or it will remain permanently in the system. Assimilation means conscious consecrated oneness with the source, conscious and consecrated oneness with the source. You receive something and then you have to think of the source. Where did it come from? It did not come from you. It came from the source. And then you have to feel your absolute oneness with the source. And this oneness you can establish on the strength of your gratitude heart, a grateful heart. So when grateful heart has become inseparably one with the source, then assimilation has taken place. When they get something from their meditation, they must feel that it has come from someone, and that someone is not me, not him. Someone is God, the source. So let him offer his gratitude to the source, to the supreme. Then his gratefulness, his gratitude is nothing short of his oneness with the source. He knows that there is God. Just because he has faith in God, he has come to meditate with a seeker like me. Now, he knows that there is a source, he knows that there is God. So it is from God that he got the experience. If I get something from you, I offer you my gratitude. So let him also offer gratitude to God within him. Then if he can offer his gratitude within him and he feels that his gratitude has been accepted by the Lord Supreme within him, then assimilation has already taken place. He can have connection with his inner pilot. Anybody who comes to meditate here or elsewhere knows that there is a source, and that source is God. So if you receive anything from our friend, what do? We offer him our grateful heart. And once we offer our grateful heart, we become inseparably one with that particular friend of ours. Then everything is done. He gave, we received, and we gave him in return what we have. It was reciprocal, giving and taking. Then the game is over. You have a house, and you know that inside your house, your mother is expected to be there. Now, this is an idea or this is a reality, but you have to see her face to face if you are in need of something. You have to enter into your house and see where she is, whether she is in the kitchen or in the living room or somewhere else. Then you have to see her face to face. Then ask her for the favor. So God is within us. He is not elsewhere. But we have to see him and then plead with him to give us what we need. If we do not establish conscious oneness with God, then in which way are we better than the ordinary people who are not aspiring? Just because we are aspiring, we feel that we are chosen children of God. But if we don't aspire, then we are to be placed in the same footing with others who are not aspiring. Consciously we are aspiring, and you do hope that consciously one day we shall realize God. This is our conscious awareness that makes us feel, not superior, far from it, that makes us feel that we are ready to be God's instruments, to please Him, to serve Him in His own way. God is above our mental concept. He is neither male nor female. He is neuter. We Indians, Vedic seers, were clever. They came to realize God as neuter, it. Our Brahman is it. Brahman is not he or she. So again, He is everything. He is this, He is that, again He is everything. Let us not put He, let us put it. It is masculine, it is feminine, it is neuter, again it transcends everything. So if you like the mother aspect of God, then you approach mother aspect. If you like the father aspect, you approach father aspect. If you like brother aspect, you approach brother aspect. If you do not want to confine the reality to a masculine form or feminine form or neuter form, if you want to accept reality as an infinite expanse of energy, light, or peace, or bliss, you are most, you are allowed to do so. A seeker should not come to establish a kind of relationship with me. A seeker should come there to the meditation with the idea, with the hope or the expectation to receive something from me. Here I am an instrument, and the seeker is also an instrument. Let us say that somebody is the supervisor, and somebody is the sectional boss, and somebody is a secretary. Now, secretary is an instrument, the boss is an instrument, and above the boss, who is all-round supervisor, is also an instrument. Now, let the three instruments do their respective jobs. Here, we don't have to, the secretary does not have to establish any kind of relationship, or the boss does not have to establish a kind of relationship with the supervisor. Only thing is that each one has to do his job well. Let them come, let them become the instrument, and I have become an instrument, and my superior is an instrument. Our superior, the supreme, is an instrument. Our superior considers us as his instruments. Then if everybody did his job satisfactorily, then he grows inside him a conscious seed, a seed which will germinate eventually, and it will become a sapling, a tiny plant, then it will grow into a tree and banyan tree. So when they come to me or when we meditate together, then they get the opportunity to discover a seed, an aspiration seed. The Christ and the Buddha are the spiritual masters of the highest magnitude. Now, and I happen to be also a spiritual teacher. Now, the spiritual teachers, if they are really spiritual, then they are absolutely one. They come from the same family. One Sri Ramakrishna, another spiritual master of the highest height, told his beloved disciple, Vivekananda, that he, Ramakrishna, and Krishna, and Rama, he who is Rama, he who is Krishna, is in one form, is Ramakrishna. Means once one becomes a realized soul, then one becomes part and parcel of the universal reality. So, the disciples of the Christ and the disciples of the Buddha, if they are true disciples, then they will have no problems in meditating with me in the public meditation, for I am not taking them away from the Christ consciousness or the Buddha consciousness. On the contrary, on the strength of my own divine inseparable oneness with the Lord Buddha and with the Lord Christ, I can help them reach their beloved ones, for I am here on earth as a messenger boy. I always tell the staunch Catholics and other votaries of great spiritual masters that you need a secretary or you need a servant in order to approach the boss. So you can take me as either a secretary or a servant to the boss. If you want to have an appointment, if you want to have an interview with the master, you must take help from the servant or from the secretary. It is the servant who will open the door for you, and it is the secretary who will make the appointment for you. So you can take me as secretary or as servant to the master. Then my role is over by bringing you to your beloved Master Christ or the Buddha. The difference between a mind and a transformed mind is very simple. If it is just a mind, if it is an ordinary mind, then that mind is quite often assailed by fear, doubt, anxiety, worry, and so forth. And also, it is quite often a slave to limitations. But if it becomes a transformed mind, then it becomes vast, vaster, vastest. It becomes an infinite sky, an infinite ocean. So here is the difference, the limited and the unlimited. In the limited, there is a dance of conflicting thoughts, ideas, negative forces, whereas in the unlimited, there is only peace, light, and bliss. These children are singing and dancing. Thank you.